Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
It's on the radio.
And we're online. We update every Wednesday evening.
What? Really?
Yeah, really.
Okay, I believe it.
We talk about video games on this particular show because we like video games, and we like sharing our love of video games with the world, and we also like sharing our complaints about video games with the world. And
video games.
So what have you been playing this week, Alice?
Technically I've been playing Hades.
Which we did talk about last week.
I talked about I was going to play it. But I want to explain it. I'm going to try and beat it. I'm gonna try to get further in it than I am. It's like Hades is a game by Supergiant Games. They've done Bastion, Pyre, and Transistor. I didn't really like Transistor gameplay or story, but I liked everything else about it. I love Bastion. It's one of my favorite games to play. Hades is amazing. It is a game that it's one of those games that I thought about playing when I wasn't playing it, right? And, you know, like, yes. I wanted to play.
Yep.
So it's only a game that I sort of stopped playing basically because it hurts my hands. But yeah, I will go into it more. But otherwise, like, I beat this game a week or two ago, right? Which is Call of Cthulhu, and this is the one by Focus Home Interactive, who also have done, like, published Vampyre.
Which was a game we liked.
I liked Vampyre. This is developed by Cyanide, and I'm not sure, like, let's see, what else they've sort of done. Not a lot. I just got this one. To be honest, I kind of thought this one was the other game that I'll talk about that I did get, which is The Sinking City, which is one that I heard was more of an interesting game, obviously based similar, like Sinking City is very Cthulhu, H.P. Lovecraft inspired. But for those of you who don't know, H.P. Lovecraft was a super huge racist, homophobe, like he was all around terrible person. And I think a lot of people that utilize his works now hopefully understand that and then also try to separate that from that. You know, not glorify him in any way. I will get into it more, but The Sinking City does very much have something similar to what I think Looney Tunes did, where it was sort of like they have sort of a warning, I guess, or just sort of an information that these were the kind of, you know, biases, racial injustices, like bigotries towards people. Like, this is what was reflected of this time. Like, this is not what we think, but this is just in time, or keeping in time with this period, right? Which is 1920s era is when Cthulhu Lovecraftian sort of always takes place, right?
And the neat thing about Lovecraft now is people are using his works in,
like, subversive ways. Yeah. Ways that he would have been very mad about, but too bad. Nah, he's dead.
Because we've been watching Lovecraft Country as well.
Yeah, which also is, I guess, subverting the genre. Like, okay, so Call of Cthulhu by Cyanide, I don't feel changed anything. It was a first person game. There wasn't any fighting. It was just sort of looking at stuff. Basically, you're a private eye. This is a very common theme throughout these games. Yeah. Like, you will, the next one is he's also a private eye. And he is sort of given a letter and a painting, and it's sort of indicated that the woman who painted the painting is missing. We're trying to find her. The painting that she painted is kind of creepy and ominous. That's sort of what we're going on here. And you're going to a creepy little fishing town, because of course you are. That's where all of, like, every Lovecraft, or, like, you know, and this one is specifically Call of Cthulhu, and I think, like, the Village of Innsmouth, which is a very specific place in the Cthulhu mythology. Basically, I found this very boring. There are things about it that I just didn't get. I didn't really, like, my character didn't have a lot of motivation. Other than, I guess, money. I'm figuring out why this is here.
Make for a good hero.
And then the characters aren't interesting. Like, my character isn't interesting, and he doesn't get to talk a lot. There is a policeman who at one point gets killed, but he comes back to life magically. Like, this is very early in the game. And it's fine. Like, it wasn't a game that I necessarily enjoyed. It's kind of funny because I was looking over the reviews for this game versus Singing City, and the Singing City got hit way harder, versus Call of Cthulhu, which I thought was, like, not a very, like, the story, which is Cthulhu, Lovecraftian stuff, you can sort of do a lot with that. You can do a lot with cosmic horror. They did not a lot with the cosmic horror.
Like, one of your favorite games of all time deals with a lot of cosmic horror.
What game?
I'm thinking, like, Bloodborne and the Dark Souls.
Yeah, Bloodborne is, I would say, yeah, is explicitly based off of that. And I think, yeah, Bloodborne monsters are fantastic. The monsters in here, there was one monster. And it was boring, and it wasn't even, like, you know, the ultimate monster. But this was sort of the monster that I fought. Like, there are different endings of this game as well, where one's where you stop, basically, Cthulhu from being summoned. The other one's where you let Cthulhu be summoned. Both endings are kind of, like, obviously the one where Cthulhu gets summoned is way cooler. But both endings are not satisfying. Like,
that's really disappointing, especially with...
Well, it's basically I crawled up a plate. Like, they do... I think it's one of those games where it would have been better to just be one thing. Like, maybe a narrative experience.
Yeah.
Rather than... I don't know what they try. There's also a skill system, and I can't tell you... Like, if the skill system helped me in any way, if me leveling up, like, my psychology or whatever changed anything. I think it maybe made me get a certain ending easier. Like, maybe the Cthulhu ending was open to me because I messed around. Like, there are things that, like, if you look at a creepy book, it's like, if you look at this, something will happen. And I was like, I'll do it, I guess.
Just to see if anything will happen.
So, yeah, and I did go back, like, the first ending I got, I stopped it, and then I was like, well, let's watch the other ending since that was so disappointing. Yeah, I didn't like it. I just wanted to be done with it, and I knew it was sort of close. There were kind of things I liked about it. There were stealth sections that were okay. I ultimately... Yeah, like, I think the main thing is that I thought this game was the other game, which I'm playing now and I'm enjoying.
The game you're playing now
is Sinking City.
It looks good.
By Frogware. And it's so funny because this one also, it came out last year. I think the main thing with this is that lots of people haven't been able to play it simply because it was delisted. I think there was some problems with some sort of copyright between Frogware and another company. Frogwares is what it's called. Which is really unfortunate because, yeah, it's over the title, which is kind of a silly reason, obviously, but I will say, like, companies have been doing, like, Bethesda did this when another company or another game wanted, it's called Pray for the Gods, they just wanted to call it Prey, but Praey, basically, and of course, there's already a game by Bethesda called Prey, which, you know, things can't be named, oh, well, yeah, I know, well, I'm just, like, in that, like, the problem is just, like, there are a limited amount of names in the universe. There is going to be at least something that's named something. So, like, that is unfortunate because the Sinking City is very, very cool. I am very much enjoying it. It's, once again, you are a private eye named Charles Reed, I believe. I don't even remember the last guy's name. I believe it's something like Ethan or Nathan or something. I don't remember. It's fine.
An everyman name.
It was really a little bit.
Sorry for the Nathans.
Anyway, so you're Charlie, and the reason he comes to this place, this is Oakmund, is because he's having, like, visions and terrifying nightmares and just sort of he's being affected by magic sort of thing. He also has, like, magical mind power that lets him sort of see occult things, but at the detriment to sort of his health. Sort of, there are things in this game, and it's so interesting because I played this game and I played maybe 10 minutes of it, and I realized it was far more like Lovecraft inspired or just in every way than Call of Cthulhu, literally titled Call of Cthulhu, right?
Yeah, so it was much more.
Because, like, there are these creatures that are just around the area, and basically they're kind of like giant shrimp lobsters wearing sphinx cat, like naked cat outfits, and they're really horrifying.
I was watching you play this and you're like, oh, look at the little cat. Oh,
I thought it, yeah, God. I thought it was a nice little kitty cat.
They were not,
and it's, and they don't hurt you or anything, they're just sort of little, they're there to be creepy, and it's perfect. And I was like, that is immediately more Lovecraftian than anything Call of Cthulhu had. And it's like, I'm 10 minutes in the game and it's just like a cat shrimp, right?
Love it.
Yeah, and so this game, you are basically, at this point I've been recruited by a very prominent member of, or like high-ranking member of society in this area named, I forget what his first name, but the last name is Throgmorton.
That's quite the title.
It is. And they're interesting. I think they're somehow related to like the Habsburgs. Like, I think that is what they are slightly inspired by.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. But so they're the high ranking members of society in this town, and his son has died, and I am in charge of trying to figure out why this happened. In this town, there are, like, I would say, so the Throgmortons, they are very, like, they're ape-like. I would say that is the best way to describe them, like, more ape-like than normal.
Sort of like a Planet of the Apes old style.
Yes, actually, that's pretty, yeah. And then there are also, they're called Innsmouthers, so obviously Innsmouth. And they're sort of slightly fish people. Inspired, and mm-hmm. this is very Lovecraftian. Like this, I believe they are. This is once again taken directly from like Call of Cthulhu, Village of Innsmouth, or it's something of Innsmouth. It's like dark. I don't know. Anyway, Call of Cthulhu esque. So there's sort of this prejudice between the two groups, and this game, like the other one, gave me decisions on like who to help or who not to help. This one is interesting because it also doesn't put it out that I don't really know which side is good. And I don't think there is like a quote unquote good side. I think it's sort of like both sides are morally questionable and you have to choose which one you feel is less so.
That's very Fallout-esque.
It is, in a way. Sometimes I feel in Fallout, though, there's an ultimately a right answer. This one, it doesn't feel like I can choose a right answer.
That's interesting.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I think that's sort of just the way that this game is. So that's sort of the story of the game, but the gameplay itself is just, it's really neat. And I don't really think I've played many games like this. So, and I played a lot of detective games because I like them. I have fun with them. But this one is different in a way that I have to do way more looking and way more research and stuff. Like, it will give me quests, and it will say that the quest is at this place and this place. And I personally have to go to the map and find the district and find the streets.
Right.
Which is neat. Like, I personally have to go mark it on my map myself. It's not a waypoint. It doesn't point it out to me. And even things like if I wanted to find the address, there's things like I have to go to the newspaper or I have to go to like the police station or something to find out.
That's a really deep detail they put in there.
Yeah, like, and this is just sort of the detective aspect of it, or the finding. Yeah, and I thought that was a really neat thing. And obviously, there's like, there are some instances where I wish there was a little more hand-holding, because there's like, there's not a lot. Like, it's just sort of like, here's the thing that you're, like, here's a little bit of information, go somewhere and maybe talk to someone. The other thing is, like, it's hard to tell what you can and can't go into in certain cases, because for some side quests, you have to go in certain houses. Mm-hmm. Some houses will be marked with, like, a mark, and there's sort of, like, a little H. Other houses just won't be marked, and you just sort of have to, you know, look at your map and just sort of try to go in whichever door.
Can you accidentally commit a B&E?
No. Well, yeah, okay. There is a point where, like, but I feel it was a quest line where I have shot some humans. So there is combat in this game. And the combat actually isn't bad. The main problem comes with your character sort of, like, when he sees things that are scary or wacky, the camera starts to either fisheye, it tilts.
Okay, so you start kind of losing your...
Yes, grip on reality. That's sort of what... There will be sort of, like, overlays of creepy monsters. If it gets really bad, he will start pointing the gun at his head. You can take... There's different meds for this as well. And, you know, obviously health. There's different weapons and stuff. Yeah. So items to stop this. But that would be the most annoying thing. It's just disorienting, because the thing is, that usually happens when there are monsters popping up at you. And I will say, I've faced off quite a few of these monsters. I've played a good, like, maybe like 10 hours of this game-ish, maybe. Maybe 8 hours. We'll give me that. But the monsters in this manage to still scare me. And there are parts in the place... Like, I'll say the monsters in certain areas of the town, so there are certain areas that are, like, infested, and they just, you walk through it and they pop up. That doesn't bother me as much as the monsters that pop up in the house. And it's, like, any abandoned house or any quest building that I have to go into,
right. There
is a good chance that monsters will be there. Even some beaches, there have been monsters. And they're very scary. I think there's about 5 different monsters, and obviously they range from, you know, like, small to very, very big. And they're all kind of unnerving. Like, the smallest one is, like, I don't know, a terrible little leg spider, almost. Like, there's no body.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, yeah, they're terrible. I don't like them. And they always manage to, like, I was playing today by myself, and it just they're, you know, it's just... Also, because some of the noises you hear, you're like, where is the monster coming from? Maybe he's in the other room. And then he just pops up, because they just sort of, like, form out of the floor, which, like, I'm fine with this. I'm interested in whether the monster's actually real, which I think they are, but also it could be, you know, like, a manifestation of his mind, which would be interesting. I do think they're real, just based on other things, but...
Outside observations from other people.
Yes. I would say there are definitely problems with this game. Like, there are some glitches and just visual glitches and just stuff just maybe not as polished as it could be. But I in general, I am very much enjoying it. I like the detective aspect. I like finding stuff. Like, I went through all of my side quests today, which were kind of, like, not boring, but they were just sort of, like, I had to do a lot of map work and a lot of, like, quick travel around, which quick travel is pretty legit in this. Like, there's lots to look at. It's visually very interesting. I would say my one maybe thing I would love more is more, like, NPCs to talk to, that aren't tied to quests, kind of thing. But, you know, at the same time, there's quite a bit to it that I'm still enjoying.
Just some flavor NPCs.
Yeah, because there are a few, but there aren't many.
Yeah.
And the characters in this are fairly interesting and, like, memorable, right?
Right.
Yeah. But, I'm going to finish that one up. I like it much better already than Call of Cthulhu. I also beat Dishonored, and maybe I'll talk about that some other time.
And I have begun playing Eichenfell, because we were watching Jim Sterling, and they mentioned it. and I decided to pick it up. It is an excellent little game, an RPG game that is available on the Switch, on the PlayStation, on PC, and on Xbox, I believe, as well. It's on everything, and it is... It's a very, very charming game that plays very much like a combination of Fire Emblem, Mario RPG, and with some flavor of a Tales of game in there with the story. It is... Oh, how do I want to describe this? It's also kind of like Little Witch Academia, where you are...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you play as Merit, who is on her way to Eikenfell, a school for witches and wizards, to find out what happened to her sister, Safina. Because Safina has not come home for the summer. And as Merit, you have no magical powers to start off with. Until you get close to the school, and you realize that magic has gone a little bit weird. Things are happening that weren't happening before. People are manifesting magic. Magic is affecting the animals and magical creatures around the area. And you've now got to figure out why this is happening. You also go and meet your sister's friends, who also don't know what happened to her other than she's been missing for the last couple of months. So you get armed with your basic fire magic for Merit. You got Petronella, your sister's best friend, who they get the power of poison, but it's kind of like water. And their other best friend, Rook, who has the power of curses.
Okay.
He really likes to be in books. Petronella is very endearing, but also very shy and has a lot of low self-esteem. So part of it is to figure out how to help them and to become friends with them as well. You figure out that your sister has been building a reputation for being a bit of a troublemaker who causes as many problems as she solves. And she has a lot of friends and a lot of enemies and a lot of admirers. It's... I'm loving everything about this game, especially since you can play it to be very challenging like a regular RPG, or you can play it just for the story and turn the battle mechanics right off or do an instant victory situation.
Yeah.
Which is really nice, and especially if you want this game to be played by kids who just won't be able to handle the frustration of a challenging RPG game, which this can be. There is an aspect of timing with the battles, sort of like how you would do in Mario RPG or Paper Mario, where you can get super effective attacks by timing things just right. But I'm in it for the story right now, so I'm doing the instant victory situation.
And it's not even try?
I'm trying. Okay. I am trying. But
I was like, hey, would at least try.
I was trying.
Before you give up entirely.
I didn't give up entirely. I am trying, but some of these are actually very challenging.
Yeah, I would say it's just a learning curve, right?
It is, but I already have the worst sense of rhythm of everybody.
Yeah, I guess if it's rhythm games.
There's a little bit of rhythm going on here. And the music is really, really good. If you are a fan of Steven Universe, the people who wrote the music, Avi and Surushu, are the people who did all the music for this. And you can actually go and check out the album on Spotify. I 100% recommend it, and I've been listening to the music and getting it stuck in my head so much. It's really good. The artist, the pixel artist, is Hunter Russell, who is also known for, give me a second here because I have it on another page, Flynn, Son of Crimson, River City Girls, which I know was getting some good feedback as well, and Katana Zero.
Oh.
And it is fronted by Chevy Ray, from Canada, no less. They're from Vancouver, BC, and they've been doing all the coding, most of the art, designer, programmer. I'm really enjoying it. I 100% recommend this to anybody who's looking for a neat RPG. And I'm about 2/3 of the way in, and I don't want to give away any of the story. It's so good.
Yeah, so that is about, like, there is just sort of an RPG?
It's an RPG. There is some puzzle-solving aspect. As you go along through each chapter, you unlock a different part of the school, which the school itself is the map, and each part is a different dungeon. Okay. So you kind of got a sort of Zelda-esque situation going on here, too.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, so you have to go through woods, you got to go through a library, you got to go through an alchemy lab. I think what I love most is how close it is to Little Witch Academia. Just that sort of cute art style, that cute sort of storytelling,
mm-hmm.
where you're dealing with, like, someone who knows nothing about magic, learning about this magical world.
Yeah, no, that is cute. It sounds like an interesting game.
What is also very, very cool is the representation in this game.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you encounter a lot of people of color, and you also encounter a lot of people with different gender identities as well. You got people who go by they, them, zem, zir. You got a non-binary person who goes by he, him pronouns. And just how they interact with each other and treat each other with the respect that they deserve, which is not something you see very often in games. I also really, really like how the save points in this game is you going up to pet cats. And it's just such a chill time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I said, this has some very Tales of-esque storytelling, which you're not a fan of the Tales of series.
I don't know what that means.
It means that it starts off telling one kind of story, and then there is a plot twist somewhere in the middle where you don't really...
That's not a tale. That's a JRPG thing. Don't give that to the Tales of series at all. Like, if we want Final Fantasy, make it. If we want to choose, no.
Well, that's how I've seen other people describe it as well, where it's also kind of like, you expect your... I really don't want to spoil too much because it is a good story, but where you are expecting things to be one way and then all of a sudden the story just got a bit of a darker twist to it. Which, yeah, I guess it is just a general JRPG thing, but...
Yeah, I was like, Jade, that sounds like a JRPG to me.
And...
So many.
And another neat thing that I found out is that they have opened up this game to be modded. So if you want to go and seek out mods and see different things of this game or alter the game to suit your tastes, you can go and do so. There is a Discord open and they have a room for modders.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I love it when creators are open to people, you know, playing the game how they want to see fit.
And absolutely.
Because we've done that with Stardew Valley. Or you've done that with Stardew Valley.
I've modded it. Yeah. Well, I just modded it because I knew I could. There's certain games that I will mod, like, if I've either played it a bunch or if it's just, like, ugly. And I'm not saying Stardew Valley's ugly, but I'm saying that I feel the character model could be improved upon. But that's fine. Like, I'm not... There's more to Stardew Valley than, like, the visuals. And Stardew Valley is a good-looking game. It's just, you know, it's the pixels.
Except for in that first scene with Grandpa's bed in the middle of the room.
That one's confusing. It's fine.
But if you're looking for just a chill time or a good story or just a good, fun game, go and check out Eichenfell. It's available on every platform, Switch, PC, PlayStation, which is where I have it, and on the Xbox. It's so good. All right, everybody, that's everything we've got for you for this week, and we'll be back next week. Keep changing.
Bye.